If you'd like to read with us, I don't know if we'll be able to preach today or not. I've got a lozenger if I can keep the thing in my jaw to sort of help me a little bit, and y'all just pray for me. But I've got a thought on my mind. In Exodus, the third chapter, and starting with the 13th verse, and here Moses is concerned about telling the children of Israel who it is that's commanding him and ordering him and telling him what to show them and to say and how to lead them. And the 13th verse, and Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Now, here in this it said, "I am that I am." And, you know, I've read that many times and sort of thought, you know, what a strange way of putting that. But then if you go back into Genesis and you begin to read, where in the beginning, when God started out with nothing and began to make things, it was God doing it. He spoke things into existence. He took nothing and created a firmament and all the things that we see, and then begin to separate them out and to put bounds upon them where that they could be and what was their bound that they could go out. Just like the ocean, it couldn't cover the land. It had a point that it could only go to. And God done every bit of that. And he separated the darkness and the light. God doing every bit of it. And then it come here, he said, "Who is it that said you?" He said, "I am that I am." When they begin to wonder what kind of a God was that, it was God, the one that created it, the one that said, "I am he that created it. I'm the one that made it all. I'm the one that started with nothing and created all that you see. I'm the one that has the power to bring it all about. And there's no help besides me. There's no other God but me. I am you. And the only one that you can put your faith and trust in." You know, as we think of that for a little bit, the children of Israel, all the signs, all the wonders, all that God did for them, and how soon they would turn from the God that had proved himself and let them know just who that he was. You know, how much love did God have for the children of Israel that he was willing not to stand afar off and speak unto them, but he was willing to come and speak unto each and one of them. But because of fear, they said, "No, Moses, you go and talk to him, and you just tell us what that he said." And God was willing to do that. But he was still close at hand. They could see the pillar of fire. They could see the cloud. They could see the mountain. And it burned in the smoke. They could see all of that. And knew that God was right there. And even before that the mountain and quit burning, they would turn and want them another God. One that they could hold, one that they could see with their eyes, because God had not blessed them to see his form. And yet, God had told them that I am he. I'm the one. I'm the one that brought you out of, they're going to bring you out of Egypt. I'm the one that's proven itself time and time and time again to you. I am he. Well, you and I today, you know, when we go on our knees before God, do we ever ask ourselves who it is that we're praying to? Do we ever ask ourselves what does God look like? Do we ever ask ourselves, is He real? Does He really exist? Or when you get down there on your knees and you begin to pray, do you ever picture in your mind of what God might look like? Do you ever picture in your mind of what it must have been? And we got to miss out on that creation day. Standing there beside Him, looking out across that empty space, and God began to speak things into existence. Now look there and see just how wonderful it must have been to see the fire in the mind of God to speak something, and here it just starts to pour in the middle of nothing, and to look down upon it and God say it is good. You and I today, I remember back years ago seeing on the television screen and the astronauts when they were circling the moon and the camera back in Earth, and there was that little tiny ball of blue looking hanging there in space. What it must have been when God spoke it into existence, and how pretty that it looked unto God, because He had a plan for it and for you and for me. And you know, I can remember hearing one of the astronauts say that the earth looked different than all of the other heavenly bodies that he looked at because it had such a pretty blue color to it. And they said that must have been because of the water. But you know, as they sent things out across space, every other thing that they come to, they not found anything that had that blue tint to it. They not found anything that had that water to it. And water is the thing that gives life. God's the one that spoke into existence what you and I needed to live right here on this earth. God's the one that created everything that we can see. And even that is beyond their time. And He said, I am He. And you and I today, we're still going to have to come and accept that the ways of God are right. Man's ways are not right. They can't even make up their mind what they want but God. And the foundation of the world, He had it all planned out in there. What it took. What it took to make it stand. You know, a foundation of a building, the architect, before he builds it, he starts out and plans what kind of pressure and stress and everything this building's going to have to stand. And he puts a footing underneath it that will support him. And do you realize the taller the building goes up, the deeper, the bigger, and the stronger the footing is that going down. Why? Because that that building, the taller it gets, the more force there is upon it by the wind. So it's got to have a massive structure underneath to support it. Well, God, when He laid out the plan of salvation, He laid out the plan of this whole universe and everything. At the very beginning, He foreseen everything and knew what kind of a foundation that it took for it all to be built upon. And what was it? It ever been stands upon His Son. And what did He did? If it wasn't for the miracle of God and the mercy that He showed unto man, this whole world and all of it would already be done away with. It would be out of existence. But God planned and foreseen exactly what we would need. And He's laid it out from the beginning all the way unto the end. And man today are still refusing to accept what God has said and the plan that God has laid down. They figure they just must be some way that we can get around this. You know, the children of Israel, they wanted to know who gave Moses this authority. Then when he told them, they was unwilling to accept the authority. You and I today, the Word of God, He made it plain it is the final authority. God has told us that we're going to be judged by. Christ even said, I don't judge you, but the words I speak, they shall judge you. And from that was delivered unto the prophets all the way through was words that come from Christ. Even the Old Testament, it was words that come from Christ preparing the way for Him. You and I today, those words of God are still going to come to pass. We might live in a time when people don't want to hear it. But you know the wonderful thing about it? God, when He says, I'm He. When God said, I am sent you. Is the one that's sending you. God is still telling you and I today. That same one is what sent His word unto us. And we're going to have to be obedient unto it. They found out, Israel found out that the word of God was true. And no matter what that He said, they was obedient unto it or they paid the price. Man today needs to learn that valuable lesson. We're either obedient unto the word of God or we're going to pay the price. You know, there's all kinds of people in this world that I love. I think a lot of. And I'd do anything that was in my power to get them to see the plan of salvation and how much they need it. And you know, the biggest part of the people in the world today that I would love to see reach out and get a hold of God, their church members today. They think they're all right. They think that it's okay. It's not necessary. They think that it's just a form and a fashion that we don't need to be spiritual. But, you know, God said it in His Word. Without the Spirit, we have no part with Him. So you and I today, if God laid down the plan all the way back in Genesis, it started out and made it possible for you and I to have it today. Why is He going to change it to suit us today? He foreseen all that we needed. And we either accept it or we're rejecting the plan that God laid down. And you and I today, it's an easy thing to see which one is going to be accepted. You know, Christ, right there in the garden when He prayed, He said, not my will, Thy will. Christ right there would have rather than been some other way made possible than Him to go to the cross and suffer such shame. But He said, not my will, Thy will. He was surrendering to the Father's will because He knew that the Father knew what was best. You and I today, we can come to God all we want to and argue every point, but when all said and done, we're going to have to say, even as Christ said, not my will, but Thy will be done. Lord, I surrender myself unto You because You are the great I am. You're the one that knows it all. You know, somebody can come around to my house and I can say, I'm the one that does the word. And I was surprised when they were saying, we're happy. I'm the one that does the plumber happy. And I was surprised when they were saying, we're happy. But what is that happy? Somebody that don't know anything about word and plumber happy. They might marvel at that and say, oh, that's really something happy. But God, when He said, I'm the one that owns the earth and all their own something happy. I'm the one that created the stars happy. I'm the one that holds the sun there. They give it there. I'm the one that planned all
I'm the one. That's something to marvel at. Why? Cause nobody else could have done it. He's the only one. And we better
recognize and realize that we're going to have to do business with Him as Lord and Savior, or as their judge. While we get some song to sing, if there's something in your life that you need to pray about, why not come call upon God while He can be found, while He's near? You know, it's amazing to think how that God, for a people, would do all that He did for Israel. How that God, for a private individual, would do all that He's done for me and for you. How that God has proven Himself time and time and time and time again. So why does any of us raise with a question in our mind or our heart of anything that God asks of us? You know, from the very minute that God says, "Will you go?" we should only be asking, "Where, Lord?" Or as the prophet said, "Here am I, send me." That should be our only answer to God. Why question Him? When you know one that's never been wrong, why question? And you can say, "Well, I was just doubting where I'd be able to do it. I know I've been there. I've asked all those questions." But God can take it and accomplish it. Have you ever seen somebody happy that was real good at working and doing things happy, and though they didn't have the proper tools, they sat around for a little while and think about it happy, and come up with a way to get a job done happy? What you and I today happy? God, we might look at ourselves and say, "Lord, I'm not the proper instrument happy," but if we're yielding ourselves to God, God can accomplish the job that He wants with us to get done in plenty of time. He don't wait for us to yield in His hand and give ourselves unto Him to be used while we sing. What's in your heart today?